Proverbs 22. Now, I apologize if these... Well, there's Jennifer. Hey there. I apologize if these are a little bit sketchy, a little rambling on my part, but this is something... It's not my forte dealing with a subject. I'm doing the best I can. There's certainly no books other than this book to go by. Here is our text we've been using as a foundation, verse 6, Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we tried to establish in the beginning that the Lord is not talking about salvation here. We can't save our children. But He's talking about the way that he should go according to God's Word. There's explicit instructions for us and our children. And today we're going to talk about respect for authority. And we started these studies last Sunday by establishing that God's Word is the authority. God's Word. Let God be true and every man a liar. That we need to reject most modern thought and philosophy on this subject. Absolutely. Scripture says, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Modern psychology is based on this, that man is basically good. Our children are basically good. And they'll turn all right, out all right if we just, just push the right good buttons and so forth. That's not what this book says. That's not what God says. It says we're born bad. Yes, our children are born wild, needing to be tamed. That's so. That sound tough? It gets tougher. This is a tough thing. But, a mere casual glance at the youth today will tell you. And perhaps, there have been some wild generations. Mine was a wild one in the 60s, 70s. It was pretty wild. I didn't think it could get any worse. A mere casual glance will tell you that this is maybe one of the wildest generations ever, and I believe it's a sign of the very end times. This is an in-your-face generation. In-your-face. Totally, totally rebellious to any and all authority. I blame it on the pulpit. I blame it on this right here. This is where it all started to go wrong, that is. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. When men cease to proclaim God as God, and the fear of the Lord was not preached and taught, and it began to have serious ramifications. It filtered down into all of society, this no fear. No fear of God, therefore no fear of anything and anyone else. And, if there's no authority, there's no justice, is it? Justice means certain consequences. That's what justice meant, whether good or bad. No authority, no justice. God's not our judge first, then we don't have to answer to Him or anybody. There's no consequence. If there's no justice, there's no fear. No fear. If there's no fear, then what you've got is pride and haughtiness and rebellion and in your face. And you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I please. It doesn't matter. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 tell us the last days will be perilous, dangerous, terrible times. Verse 2, men to be lovers of their own selves. Next Sunday we're going to deal with this thing of self-love. This is the whole problem, self-love. how self-love has got to be tamed in our children. We can't take it out. Only God can. But it's got to be tamed. It's the first thing God does to His children. Read on. Lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, the word doesn't mean a thing, false accusers, gossipers, slanderers, incontinent, can't restrain passions, fierce, violent, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, a lot of religion, but they deny the power, and that word is authority thereof. That's the word, authority. Denying the authority. So, here's the first, really the first lesson. The first one last week was, this is the word. Let's establish that right now. This, what God says is true, that every man be a liar on any subject. All right, now here's the first lesson on this thing of biblical child discipline. The first lesson in salvation, too, is this. Someone reigns over us. Someone rules us. No one. Authority. Authority. And whoever reigns and rules over us is to be feared, to be reverenced, to be respected, to be obeyed unquestionably. That hard? That's what this book said. And I think we'll see that all our problems, personal problems, our children, society, and everything comes from that breaking that very first rule. Well, we as parents must first rule our children. Be in authority. Be in charge. That what we say and do, now, as I said, may be a little bit sketchy, a little bit here and there, but it's because I'm learning to do this. But as we said last week, the thing of love is the root of everything we do as parents. It's the foundation. We do what we do out of love to them, in love to them. So that's the foundation in our hearts and minds. But now the first thing, though, our children need to learn, though, is that we are their parents. That we are the authority. We are in charge. That what we say and do goes. No questions asked. Is that not how we... Remember we said last week that God is our God first, our Father. We find out later, right? And isn't this the first thing we learn concerning our God in salvation? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. And then we hear and we learn He's our Father. We don't quit fearing Him, do we? We don't quit reverencing Him or respecting Him. Go to Judges 21 with me. Judges, the book of Judges 21. So this is the first thing. The first lesson is this thing of authority, that we are the authority. We rule. We rule in love, but we rule. We make demands. We make demands. Commands. Remember what the Lord said of Abraham? He said, I know him. He will command his children. Doesn't mean he'll bribe them and prod them and plead with them and beg them and trick them and entice them and love them into... He'll command them. We make commands.
We do it in love. We do it out of love. The reason we do it is love for them. But nevertheless, we command. We rule. We make demands, not requests. If there is no authority, here's the point. If there's no authority, if there's no one in charge, if it's every man for himself, you got nothing but trouble. Look at, and this started in the garden, didn't it? Didn't it start with Adam in the garden? God says, I'm God, right here's your one restraint, boundary. You can't have this. No. And when Adam, a rebellious child, rebelled, all hell broke loose. Didn't it? How unreasonable for him to withhold that from Adam. That's plumb ignorant, isn't it? And so are we as parents. If no authority, no one in charge, every man to himself, we've got nothing but trouble. Verse 25 of Judges 21, the last verse says this. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And what does Scripture say about that which is right to a man? There is a way which seemeth right to man. But the end is what? Destruction. It's death. Death. A way that seems right. Our way, our natural way, our children's natural way and propensity is all wrong. We're born wrong. We won't go right. It won't turn out all right. Unless God turns them. Unless God gives us the wisdom to train them up. They won't turn out all right. So there's a voice of authority. That's a principle that comes down from God. This thing of authority. It's necessary for all aspects of life. I hope our young people can listen to this. It's directed at parents, but and I'm glad you're here, young people, because you won't, from here on out, you can just blame me, okay? Don't get mad at your parents. No, don't blame me. This is God. This is God. Just don't get mad at anybody, for that matter. Law is a good thing. You know that? The law is not the problem. Didn't Paul write that? What's the fault in the law? It's not the law, it's the weakness of the flesh. God's law is holy, it's just, it's good, it's true, it's good. What if God had never made any laws? Huh? Law's good. Those who enforce it are good. Isn't it a good thing that we've got, not lawyers? You know, down in Savannah, Georgia, George Whitfield was partially responsible for building that town and establishing it. George Whitfield, the preacher. And he put a sign up, no Catholics or lawyers allowed in this town. I'm not talking about lawyers. They don't enforce the law. They twist it. They get around it, lawyers. But judges, law enforcement officers, isn't it good? Isn't it good that there's laws? Oh, we hate 45 miles per hour through certain places. Don't we? What if, well, just however fast you want to go. You'd be afraid to get in your car. Laws are good. Commandments holy, just good. Those who enforce it are not a terror to good works, Peter wrote. Not a terror to good work. Law is not made for a righteous man. You can tap my phone all you want. I don't care if a government taps my phone. If they're out after terrorists, fine. Tap everybody's phone. Honest people don't worry about it. The law's good, isn't it? It's for lawbreakers. It restrains. Isn't it a good thing? Restrains. If you're a lawbreaker, you don't like it. Now, once again, I'm not talking about salvation here. You know that. We're not under the law. Do I have to say all that again every time? No, I don't. But in every aspect of authority, of society, there's authority. It begins with God. It is down through the years. We've said before that the greatest type of government is a monarchy, a king. That's what God first established, a king. The judges, there was no king, Stan. But you know who was king? Moses. He was king. Didn't have a title, but he was, wasn't he? Joshua. Well, I thought about that. Joshua, king of the Jews. Jesus is the New Testament, king of the Jews. Joshua, king. There was no king for a while, and it was a mess, wasn't it? And then Samuel came along. He was king. David, king. It's a good thing if you got a good one. King. Governors, goes on down through officers in the military and in civilian life. Parents, superintendents on the job, teachers at school. Authority's got to be. Romans 13. Go to Romans 13 with me. Romans chapter 13. Now you know this old saying, you've heard it all your life. The boss may not always be right, but what's the rest of it? He's always the boss. And as we said, everything, any good saying we get, anything that makes sense or is true, it's a derivative of something from God's Word. You know that? And in what we're dealing with, parents certainly are not always right. Parents, especially new parents, are learning to be parents. That's why this, what we're doing right now, is such a good thing, isn't it? I never heard anything like this when I was young. I was a young parent. And I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I have learned a little bit. But anyways, parents certainly are not always right. So I think that when you get older, you wish you could do it all over again, don't you? Don't you, Nancy? You wish you'd like to try it again. A lot of things that I was so insistent upon I didn't need to, and a lot of things I should have been and I wasn't. And on it goes. A lot of mistakes made. But parent may not always be right, but they are always the parent. Romans 13, this applies to all authority. Verse 1, let every soul, young, old, male, female, be subject unto the higher powers. There is no power but of God. You remember when Paul wrote this, don't you? When they were under the most oppressive, tyrannical regime or government in the history of mankind, Nero. Right, Ed? Nero. He'd kill you if he didn't like the way you looked. And nobody would answer to it. This word does not teach rebellion of any sort against anybody. Paul said, obey. He said, it'll go well with you if you just submit. It'll go well with you. No power but of God. The powers that be, verse 1, ordained are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance, the order of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Here it is. Rulers are not a terror to good work, but to evil. You'd be afraid of the power, do that which is good. You have praise of the same. Do the speed limit, you don't have a thing to worry about. You know, it is a pretty good feeling. You don't need to be proud of yourself, but it's a pretty good feeling when you're driving through a town. And you don't normally feel this way because some of us probably never have this feeling. And you look in your mirror and you see a policeman behind you. Now, the first thing the law does is what? It strikes fear in you. But then you look down, I'm doing the speed limit. Go on by. Hey, how you doing? We're friends, aren't we? Yep. Law abiding. Don't need to be proud of yourself, but nevertheless, you don't need to fear him. Right? Don't have to fear him. That's what he's saying here. He's a minister of God to thee for good. Minister of God, any authority. That's what he's saying. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, As a child, you know, should we fear our parents? Absolutely. As a child, I fear, and this goes for mothers. Women, I hope you're listening carefully. Because just because of the nature of the sexes, they're just not, they don't have that voice of authority. They don't instill and command that fear, that respect that fathers do. The mere voice of a father, just sound. This is why preachers are men. You know that? You know that? That's just one practical reason preachers are men. The voice. More authority in it. But, you know, this, children need to fear their mother as much as their father. Respect. My father's sister, Martha, some of you have met her before. Little woman. Real small lady. About 5 foot tall. Real tiny. Oh, man. Is she a firecracker? She had 3 sons. Whew, and they were pistols. 3 sons. They feared that woman. They stood at attention. She loved them dearly. They love them today. All they do, they lay their lives down for their mama. But, buddy, when mama said something, mama meant it. Just like daddy. That way you're not pitting a father against a mother and a mother against a father. Well, it's respect for authority. I feared my father as a child. It wasn't a slavish fear, being terrified. I wasn't terrified of him. But I respected his authority. And I feared the certain consequences of rebelling against that authority. Oh, did I fear the certain consequences. And they were certain. And it must be so. This is the rule here. This is the principle we're trying to learn here. It must be so. It's for our good. For our good. As we said, children are born. We are born. Unregenerate. Ignorant. Sinful. Rebellious. Children must be commanded first. You know, children can't be reasoned with. They don't have any experience to go on to reason. They can't understand a thing you're doing. They don't understand a thing you're saying. Don't do that. Why? I don't understand why. They don't have any experience, the consequences of doing what you're trying to keep them from doing. Huh? They don't have any experience of it. You know, the Lord chastens us more with His Word than He does anything. Aren't you glad? If we just listen. Just do what He says. We don't have to learn the hard way. We will have to learn that way by experience, won't we? It'll go better with us if we just listen. The children must be commanded. Children must be restrained. Children must be taught, led. Children must be instructed, reprimanded. Children are born foolish. Proverbs says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. That's what God's Word says. Children are unwise if left to themselves. Proverbs says, a child left to himself will be a grief to his mother, to his father, and bring himself to destruction. They'll perish without restraints, boundaries. They'll destroy themselves. And we don't like it. Children don't like it. We're not born liking restraints, boundaries. You know, the Scripture says the strength of sin is a law, isn't it? When we're told not to do something, what do we want to do? When we're told not to go there, where do we want to go? If someone places any restraints whatsoever on us, what do we do? I don't like this. Why? Because we're born wild. And so, this lesson of authority begins with God. God first tells all of His children whom He reveals Himself to. All of His children, let me say this over and over again, I am God. I am the Lord. Doesn't it? And that's the first thing we hear from our God. I am the Lord. Now, is that cruel? Is he being hard? You know, there's a big difference between hard and firm. Need to be firm. Resolute. And you can do that without being hard. This lesson is good. God who tells His children, I'm God, I'm the Lord. That's good. It's good. Do as He says because He says. We cannot fully understand. This is a lesson that we will learn all our lives or try need to. I'm God. It doesn't matter how old we get, we still don't understand God's ways. And as children to our parents, we learn too late. Almost, don't we? We learn too late. This lesson continues with parents and in society, school, work, government, and so forth. Do as you're told, when you're told, because you're told. And it'll go well with you. That's the principle. My father preached a message years ago. I'll never forget it, nor will anyone that really heard it. Submission, the key to happiness. Begins with submission to God and in all aspects. It'll go well with you. This is one reason I wish, Brother Lee, that military service, at least 2 years of military service was mandatory for all young men anyway. I really do. If I was president, I'd try to get that. Mothers, I really do. It's a good thing. Was it good for you, Brother Henry? Was it good for John? Was it good for you? Ron? Good for you. Lee? What do you think about these men that have been through it? Charles? Was it a good thing? Teaches discipline. Teaches respect. There's a military academy in Virginia, the state of Virginia. I forget the name of it. I love their ad. They have an ad in many magazines that says this. We teach a foreign language. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Foreign language. Boy, if the child can learn that and really learn it, they're going to get the best job. And on it'll go. That's right. That's right. Who would you hire? A fellow like that right there? Or some fellow walks in with his pants hanging down? Huh? Who would you hire? You know, young people, these so-called freaks and all that at school, wild young people are not happy. They're not happy. They're putting on this front like they're free and happy and doing their own thing. They're miserable. That's why they're the ones generally end up killing everybody and killing themselves. They're not happy. They're miserable. Rebellious children are not happy and are miserable. And without restraint, let's talk about restraints for a minute, okay? Restraints and boundaries. And the word no. It's the most effective word in the English language. Therefore, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Restraints and boundaries. An unrestrained, unbridled child or animal are a danger to themselves and a danger to others. Listen again. An unrestrained child or animal, and I say that because I'm going to use this illustration, but unrestrained, they're a danger to themselves and to others. There's a fella on TV called the Dog Whisperer. Anybody ever watched him? He's worth watching. Parents ought to watch him. Parents ought to watch this fellow. I learned a lot. He teaches Every dog that comes in, every home he comes into, you know, parents, well, he's a good little dog. He's good. He just, you know, wants to bite everybody that comes in. He's a good little dog. He just barks at everybody. He's a good little dog. He pees on everybody. He's a good little dog. There's nothing good about him. But they love him so much, you know. I don't want to love little Fifi. You don't want to make it. He's a good little dog, basically. He just, I don't know what to do. And the first thing he says is he's running you. This dog is running this house. You've turned into the dog, and he's the owner. Same thing can be said about a lot of children. That 2-year-old is running this house. And the first thing so that dog whisperer does is put that little Fifi, who's just run bouncing off the walls, on a leash. How cruel. He's actually got to sit still. How mean. It's the best thing you could do for him. Restrain him. Restraints. Boundaries. A dog let loose, go on. What's going to happen to it? Just go on. What's going to happen? It's going to kill itself, run into the path of a car, get in trouble, get incarcerated, euthanize it. It's no different with children. It really isn't. Brother Kelly, he'll tell you about horses, you know. They're not born good, they're born wild. First thing you do, put a halter on them. Teach it to stand still. Put a lead rope on it. Tie it up. Back in my tree hugging days, I thought that might have been cruel, you know. Tie it up. What's wrong with that? It'll only hurt itself if it kicks and bucks and fights and so forth. It don't hurt itself. My little dog Abner, he's a pretty good dog, isn't he? Anybody think he's a pretty good dog? Anybody? You got a better dog? I challenge you. We'll put our dogs up against one another. He's a good dog, isn't he? Why? Because when he was about 8 weeks old, I forget how old he was, I put a leash on him. I started training him. Restraining him. You walk by me. You don't walk in front of me. You walk by me. You don't run. You don't get to run everywhere you want to run. You do what I say. Now at first, when I first did that, I didn't hurt him. I wasn't hurting him. There's no way I'd hurt him. Get him in there. I love that dog. You think I love the weather? You'd have thought I was just killing him. Why? Wow, that's his rebellion. Oh, I don't want that guy killing me. I don't want to run. No, you're going to hurt yourself. If you do what I say. You just, the more you settle down and obey and restrain yourself, I won't have to restrain you. The more you restrain yourself, I'll let your leash out a little bit. Until now, you know, I don't have to even put him on a leash. We go walk around the neighborhood, I say, heal. He's right there. Right? You see these people with dogs, you know, and this is not dog training class, but you're getting a lesson. People who walk in their dog. People who are raising their children, oh, they're being raised. Authority. Now here's the thing. Boundaries, restraints, being off, the things off limits are necessary. Because if a child does not learn in the very beginning to submit to restraints, they're going to hurt themselves. They're going to hurt themselves. Listen to me. We burned wood. When our daughter was born, we burned wood 24 hours a day. That's how I heated my whole house. And we had a wood stove right smack in the middle of our house. And you know what wood stoves, you know, when you fire them up, they're cherry red. And I tried, you know, I tried to put a little boundary around it and all that, but what what I did do, what we did do, is just establish in Hannah's little mind, you know, little young 2-year-old, younger than that, hot. She doesn't know what hot is. You know that? She did not know what hot was. I couldn't reason to her this is hot. Sure didn't want her to find out, did I? So what do we have to do? No! How mean? Is that cruel? Is that mean? Is it mean to say no and mean it? And if they don't do it, and this applies to everything. See, it applies, it's the first word. In Exodus chapter 20, I was going to have you turn, but we don't have time. We're running out of time. 8 out of 10 commandments, the first commandments our Lord gave to Moses to give to the people were the 10 commandments. There were many more after that, weren't there? But the first were 8, there were 10 commandments. 8 out of 10 are no. The first 3 are no. The first 3, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make into thee any graven images. No. Does he mean it? Certainly. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. No. Nothing wrong with saying no. The only thing wrong is not saying no. Not saying no. Let me give you an example. A little small child, and they do this. Curiosity. Young people, children are full of curiosity. You know what curiosity did to the cat, don't you? A little child left, you know, just grabbing things all the time. I know they're curious. I know they're curious. Well, one of the, if you don't learn to say no, and if you don't want them to touch something or grab something, then put it up. But if you're not willing to do that, then just say no. Is that wrong? Say no. Because they might grab a butcher knife. They might grab a hot pan off the stove and scar them for life. Isn't it better to hurt feelings than their skin scalded? No, it hurt their little feelings. They need hurt. To keep them from really being hurt. Really, no. No. And this begins at the home. It begins in the home. We set boundaries. We set these boundaries. It's hard work. We're going to talk about this throughout it. Whatever you set, whatever boundaries, rules, laws, or whatever, whatever you say, you better be prepared to enforce it. This is when I said in the beginning that there were things that I was so insistent on that now I think I wish I hadn't. Things I didn't and I wish I had. So, but whatever you need to enforce, you got to. You got to. There's this thing called respect, and then it builds trust. Trust. No means no. And certain consequences of not doing what when I say no. Certain consequences. And it's not always the severity of the consequences, but it is the certainty of it. You understand? And it builds trust. Daddy means no. And well, he's going to do what he says. Mama means no. And she's and they're going to do what they say. And that will also spill over into everything that you say yes to. You know, the quicker they learn no and respond well to no, the more yeses there will be. Right, Brother Kelly? A horse that learns to be tied up and restrained and so forth. What if a horse is easily caught? What if you have a horse on your farm that's easily caught? He just comes to you and you call him and he does what you tell him to. Well, you'll turn him out to pasture, won't you? He'll be the best. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If not, I'm going to tell you to stop. Right? It'll go well with you. Not trying to hurt you, trying to keep you from hurting yourself. No. No. First lesson, no. Does everybody know what no means? What does no mean? Does no mean, well, maybe. Does no mean no the first time? Should no mean no the first time? It's not maybe. It's not, no doesn't mean time out. No doesn't mean if you do that again. No doesn't mean if you do that again. No means now. No doesn't mean one, two. Now this is the nature of a child. If you keep that up, later on it'll be 999. 1,000.
And not listen to you whatsoever. And they'll take you to the limit. No. You mean no? Absolutely.
Absolutely. And yes means yes. With certain rewards. It's trust. And trust works both ways, you know what? Child, young person builds trust. You set a curfew. And I'm out of time. I'm going way ahead of myself here. Curfew is a boundary. It's a restraint. Is it mean? Is it cruel? We set one for our daughter when she was in school. My dad did us. And I know now that there's nothing good out there on the streets after midnight. Nothing but drunks and trouble. Maybe you're not doing it, but somebody else is, and they might run smack dab over and kill you. So they're keeping you from that. It's not cruel. It's right. It's love. It's love. And yes means yes. Yes means yes. Keep letting out the rain. Keep letting out the rain. If you don't pull it the bit, you have your head. Right? If you don't pull it the bit. Now, bits are designed to enforce just a little bit of pain. You know, cruel. And, you know, God said they're good. Bits. Enforce a little bit of pain. And the more rebellious a horse, the more severe the bit. But if you just don't fight it,
you don't even feel it.
You won't even mind it. Won't even mind it. I could ride old Molly. Well, she's not a ride her with a halter without a bit. Anyway. Yes, I could, Mindy. And so it's better off to have a child with restraints, to learn the word no, have their hurt feel their feelings hurt. Oh my. And we're going to talk about next week, what we're going to talk about is what that is all about, these hurt feelings and resentment and all that. It's self.
Self. It's all about self. Love of self. We're born loving ourselves. We're born pitying ourselves. We're born thinking the world exists for us. If everybody would make us happy, starting with Daddy and Mama, we're not happy. That's got to be... It can't be killed in a young person, but it can be tamed. It can be restrained.
And that's what we as parents, we need to pray that God will do the real work of killing self. Huh? Okay.